Radio Outcast is a drifting gunslinging podcast for mature audiences. Content warning: this episode contains depictions of depression and mentions of suicide ideation throughout the episode, which may be upsetting for some listeners. We encourage our listeners to prioritize their safety before venturing ahead. Thank you.
I see. She's finally shut her mouth. Helix, that is. It's not all that she deserves, but seeing her so sedated is a nice change of pace. And the two dunces at her right and left side are too busy with their own matters to coddle her. One is proudly going down the righteous path to save a man of no consequence, and the other is led by the pleasures of avarice and outwitting those who, by some miracle, are more foolish than him. Oh, these humans, they're so easily distracted. They have no clue what's waiting for them.
She ruined us first, you know. Not that it matters now. We were supposed to be different from the other unions. It wasn't supposed to end up like this. I was in love with her. Can you believe that? At one point, I loved someone like her. Should have known better.
Right where I left you. Actually managed to find the guy this time. It's all set. We've got some time until the duel. Hungry?
You're gonna fight him?
Don't got much of a choice. Walker doesn't know a yearling coat from a Colt revolver.
What happened to your code?
Don't have to shoot to kill. But finishing the job is also part of my code, and I made a deal with Walker.
So we could stay at his place longer?
Yeah, so we could slow down for a change. Thought you were starting to get taken in by the silence.
I didn't like the way he was looking at me, so I turned my head. I could feel the tower, powerless and yet not, looming over me just a short walk away. Across the street from us, there was a boutique filled with strange things. It might have been a normal place before, but because of whatever Emmy's done, it wasn't anymore. I saw a hand-cranked stereo through the window, a Barbie convertible, Mad magazines, a Karate Kid headband. All this stuff, out of time. It's so fucked up, Mom, but seeing that stuff made me feel a little less crazy. It was like I wasn't wrong because it was so wrong too. Jesse touched my shoulder and snapped me out of it.
You left.
Sorry. It's my ex. I think she may be the reason my powers are scattered like this. Ever since the last tower, it's like, so long as we're by one, she's just around the corner, too. And I I can't handle it. I left the heavens for New York to get away from her, but now it's like I'm not allowed to leave this entire plane of existence without her messing with me every single step of the way. Even banished, I can't get away. You know, maybe it's a good thing you have my immortality.
Elise.
Can we go? Please, you don't have to fight. We just need to find Charles and get the hell out of this town.
You know I can't. Not till the duel's settled. Just don't. If you would have told me. I'm just trying to help.
Hello, miss. I was looking to spend my winnings from the gym on a bit of luxury before I leave town. Do you have anything in the way of lighters? I was hoping to find something elegant, gilded perhaps. And while I'm here, maybe you would help me find a gift suitable for a young woman. Not to court. You see, my friend has been in a mournful state, so I... Madam, why are you giving such a gaze? Do I know you from somewhere?
Oh my God. Charles! Hello? It's me!
Mistress.
Oh my God! How many times do I gotta tell you? Emmy! I swear... You get weirder every time we meet.
How did you find me?
It's like you keep forgetting who I am. I'm a god, Charles. Like, one of the best gods, too. Like, VIP. How do you think I found you? I know when and where everything happens, always and ever and never, duh. Also, Spectre's in my pocket, and she's been keeping an eye on you for me. Wait, I'm so funny. Keep an eye? Oh my God. Get it? Because she's the messenger god of visuals? Like, keep up, guy.
Oh, right. I suppose I should stop being so surprised. I think your capabilities tend to astound me when compared to Helix, poor Helix, who...
Of course they do. She's a mid-tier god, and even then, she's mortal and powerless right now. Like, think these things through, Charles. If Helix was at her best, you wouldn't... Hold up. Oh no! Oh, Charles. I see you eyeing that necklace. Is this for the cow guy? Cow man, cow boy, whatever. I've seen you looking at him. Oh, don't make that face. No? You sure?
Mistress, Emmy, is there an insinuation you...
Okay, fine. Like, take it easy. So, it's for Helix, then? Seriously? You're, like, getting her an offering? And that necklace, of all things. Oh, no. Wow. I thought all you cared about was yourself. What happened to that guy? Not that this isn't funny.
I do. I mean, I don't. It's not so much an offering as it is a way to... appease Jesse. Yes. I'm appeasing Jesse. He's been going on and on about her mood, and I thought that a gift might,
Ew, Charles. Like, ugh, that's so sad. She's getting to you, isn't she? I get it. She's, like, stupid charming and pathetic and adorably... simple, so it's like, duh, I should try to make her happy. But then it's, like, you know? She just doesn't stop being all sad, and it just gets to be, like, way too much work. Like, seriously, as the god who's been responsible for her feelings for over
4,000 years now?
Let me tell you, she's too much. When she feels bad, it's like she wants you to feel bad, you know? She just sulks around and doesn't do anything. How am I supposed to be fabulous around that, right? Besides, your job is to watch her, not to make her happy. Yeah? And, like, also, if you want to give a god an offering, it should definitely be me. I mean, who's the one keeping you alive again? Yeah. But, like, don't bother, because human things are kind of, well, you know, ugh.
Emmy, if I may ask, regarding you and Helix...
Yeah?
What did she do? I mean, to warrant banishment, I would imagine her crime would have to be unforgivable.
You know, I don't have to answer that. Actually, the fact that you would dare question my will could be enough grounds for me to hit fast forward on your whole little disease thing, right?
Apologies. I do not mean to overstep. I will keep my questions to myself.
Yeah, how about you do that? So, anyways, the reason why I'm actually here. You ruined the portable recorder I gave you? Super not cool, since it was the only way of you reporting to me. So, anyways. Here.
What is it?
A brick phone? Cell phone? Wait, I've got this. It's a wireless telephone. Yeah. The only number it really calls is mine, which is just the number one, because, like, I'm number one. Hit that whenever you normally would have done the whole reporting thing. It'll ring a bit, and then you'll get my voicemail. That's when you do your little thing. Easy enough? Right?
Yes.
Awesome! All right, Charles. I didn't just pull a Sleeping Beauty on the sheriff for nothing. Guy's gonna be out for a while. It's time for you to go watch that dumb cowboy get shot again. The show's about to begin, and you need to get back to Helix.
Jesse? Wait, what did you... Of course. Thank you, Emmy. I will be more careful.
Yeah. You better. Oh, and Charles?
Yes?
Don't forget your place, yeah? Humans can't bring the gods anything other than their submission, okay? It's practically as pointless as a crab trying to make the tide laugh. Got it?
I think... Yes, I understand.
Noon. The sun glared down at an empty street. Seemed folks talk fast around here. Half expected the sheriff to show up, but no sign of the man. Seth Bullock. Rumors say the man's supposed to be one of the greatest this land has ever seen. Haven't seen hide nor hair of the guy since we got here. Figure the man can't be as respectable as people say he is. Lawmen hardly ever are. Got more respect for gunmen, personally. Or lawmen who showed their colors eventually. Like that Wild Bill Hickok. He's actually one of my fellas. Man's from Abilene, Kansas. Was the marshal there for a long time. Best shot to come out of there till I got my hands on a colt. He was killed here in Deadwood when he was running from a warren in Cheyenne. Guess that's the difference between us. I can't die. Not even a cheap shot through the back will put me down. Wonder who's a bigger cheat in this case. The man who shot Wild Bill through the back over cards. Or the man who can't die entering a gentleman's duel. Just as I started wondering if the man would show, Stockdale came stumbling drunk out of the gym. Walker watched us from the sidelines where I'd left him to take care of Corder and Healy's. Not that the man is much for protection. Elix's bird became visible for the first time in days. It sat on her shoulder trying to soothe her. She looked even worse than before. Yesterday, her face had an absence to it. Eyes looked like a dead man's. Too shiny, too large. But she was still breathing. Now she looked like she'd been electrocuted. Jaw clenched, eyes focused on something distant, but horrifying. Her hands shook in front of her as she glanced around the empty street. Seemed she was waiting for an axe to fall. But why?
Rather shoot Walker than you, boy. This ain't got nothing to do with you.
You backing out?
You wish. Just trying to drive some sense into you. Because you look young, but I'll shoot you dead all the same.
Didn't react to him. Decided I better focus on the job than what he had to say. But my mind wouldn't keep calm. It was loud and unfocused. Looked over at Helix one last time, and I saw her stare at her hands, whispering at him.
If you want to die so bad, I'll help you. On your mark.
Next thing I knew, Coda came flying my way. Wait! Woman!
Give you long enough for a final prayer. How's that?
Thought about what Charles said. About how she was a god, how she could take care of herself, how she was millions of years older than either of us. Then I looked at her again. She didn't look like a god. She looked like a girl. Afraid and alone. She told me she wanted to leave, but I said no. All because of my code. Damn it. Whatever evil shit her ex put her through didn't excuse my behavior. I have to get her out of here.
Coward. Like I figured.
Walker, here. Take my gun. I'm sorry. I can't do this for you. You have to do this yourself.
What? But you... I can't shoot. I'll die. Do you hear me? This will be my last day, EFC.
You can, Walker. You came back after helping your sister get away. You knew they'd come for you. Think about it. You knew. You could have gone anywhere else in the world, but you came right back here, to Deadwood. There's a reason for that, Walker. You knew the job wasn't done. So if you're brave enough to do all that, then you have the balls to finish this job yourself.
Okay. Yes. You're right. Okay.
Good. Don't be afraid. Man's still looking drunk, so his aim won't be much better than yours. Don't hesitate. You know what this man did. And you know he won't stop. Not until you finish it. So finish it.
What about your code?
More concerned with you than I am with
but
that.
But I just...
Give me your hand. Here. You feel that?
He grabbed my hand and put it on his chest.
That's you, right? I mean, the heat. Your power, that's... You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I remember.
Point is, you didn't mean to give it to me, but you're letting me take care of it for you till this whole journey is done. I ain't taking that lightly anymore, okay?
I can take care of myself. I don't need someone to save me. The last human that tried... suffered for it.
I ain't offering to suffer or to save you. You're strong on your own. What I'm telling you is until I can return your immortality, I've got your back. Okay? That ain't a favor. It's just the right thing.
My hands were clammy. It was a hot day, and he was even warmer. Jesse was being... I wonder if it's a human thing. This ongoing thing they do where all they know is to fight their circumstances. It's an intoxicating way of being, but I know how little fighting matters in the end. It's pointless. As pointless as these prayers. So why do I keep doing this? Why keep going? Why do I still want to beat her? Me. Powerless. Against one of the most ancient gods in this universe.
Walker. Finally done hiding behind that cowboy. Idiot. You're a dead man. You know that?
You lied to us.
Huh? Speak up. You can't even face me. How are you gonna shoot me?
She trusted you. I knew you were an evil man. She thought you were her friend. And you used that to steal her. You're evil to the core.
Oh, give it a rest already. Your sister's a little slut. She was foaming at the mouth when I got her that job with Al.
You tricked her! She had no idea what she was getting into. She trusted you. And you're the coward! You knew I would never let you take her, so you got Al to do it for you.
Don't be mistaken, Dutchman. I got her for him.
You thought she was weak. But she almost escaped you 3 times before I took her back. She told me everything. She didn't need my help. She would have eventually escaped because you were always too drunk.
Shut the hell up already and draw!
You lost. Against 2 people you call a slut and a coward. Think about that, Stockdale. The evil will always lose. You will never see my sister again. She is far away, and...
That Stockdale guy drew first while Walker was still talking.
Jesus.
I did it?
Against all odds, there was Walker still standing. The other guy was face down, slowly bleeding out through his chest.
But I... He shot first. I should...
What kind of an idiot shows up to a gunfight with an empty barrel?
Pure dumb luck. It looked like Stockdale did shoot, or tried to a few times, before Walker managed to grab the gun with 2 hands and fire. But only one of the guns had bullets in it.
How embarrassing. Seems you confused the round in his gun with his rounds at the bar.
When'd you get here?
Shit, Charles. Ugh, we need to put a bell on you.
Or you two could start paying a bit more attention. All these lofty ideals must have you a bit distracted.
Something's sticking out of your coat.
Oh, well, I did win many, many hands.
Oh my god, it's a cell phone. In mint condition? How'd you get one of these?
Oh, you know, Found it on a bench.
Charles.
Sure it didn't come from that weird store over there.
Jesse pointed at the store I'd been looking at with all the 1980s stuff.
Well, actually, yes. It seemed a most curious bauble, and with all my winnings, I thought I deserved a little token, yes? Something to remind me of Deadwood. Deadwood.
We ended up not leaving right away because Jesse still needed to get his gun back, and Charles needed to get some things he'd left at Walker's house, plus the two other horses. We thanked Walker, wished him well, and Jesse got cried on a bit. Seems Walker found himself in that gun duel, or realized who he always was. More than capable, ready to struggle on. It was a bit inspiring, I guess. Do you remember, Mom? Fall of 87. I'd been in Brooklyn months by then. It was the longest I'd been gone until now. If I had to do it over again, I would have still left Emmy. I would have still fallen for Dre, but this time, I wouldn't let him love me. When Dre lost his mind, none of you cared. I begged Emmy to fix him. I promised her anything in return. No one, not Emmy, not my own mother, none of you gave a fuck. He was just another human. And I was the little god playing human. You all abandoned me. My family. You upheld that same old unrealistic idea that gods should never interfere with humans except when absolutely necessary. But you know, no matter how inconvenient it is for them, Jesse and Charles always check in on me. Humans go the extra mile for gods. And for what, Mom?
Water?
Thanks.
So, where are we headed?
Hmm? Oh, are you asking me? Do you mean to say my directions aren't quite as aimless as you claimed before?
Jesus, Osgood, shut up and just lead the way.
Then the Missouri River it is. Oh, and Helix, I found this here necklace on the floor at the gym. It seemed it belonged to no one, so I figured that you might,
Ew. Good God. Maybe there's a reason they dropped it on the floor.
Of course. Yes, I thought much the same. Tacky old thing. I'll just toss this to the wind.
Radio Outcast was created by Maria Fernanda Vidal-Tasaga and J.T. Lachese, starring Jade Duong as Helix, Ivory Amor LaFrancisca as Jesse Rogers, Daniel A. Stevens as Charles Osgood, Jamie Hughes as Emmy, Griffin Otto Deniger as Walker, and J.T. Lachese as Stockdale. This episode was written and directed by Fernanda, dialogue editing by Miles Cronwelge, sound design by Rye Dorsey, with music by Samuel Kinsella. If you want more Radio Outcast, you can find us online at radiooutcast.com. Follow us on Instagram at @RadioOutcastPod and Twitter at @Radio_Outcast, or join the Radio Outcast Discord server. If you've liked what you hear and you want to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or Good Pods, it helps us reach more listeners and gives us a chance to see what you all think of the show. And if you aren't sure of what to say but would still like to show your support, you can rate the show on any of those avenues as well, or on Spotify. If you'd like to help us continue to grow, please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/radio_outcast. Our patrons have access to behind-the-scenes material, original scripts, and bonus content, including early access to Q&A sessions and a map of Mata's compound from Season 1's finale. But if that's too big of a commitment for you, if you become a patron at the Coda tier for as little as $1 a month, you too could get a special shout out at the end of our episodes, like
Alan L., the Rubik's Cube Master, Talia W., a fierce, hungry, hungry hippo player, Patricia D. and her Funshine Bear, Lizbeth S. carrying a Nintendo Zapper in her holster, Val V., secret seeker of Castle Grayskull, Susan D., professional Etch-a-Sketch artist, Fearless Lila, whose Spez Dispenser collection rivals all others, Bunny Hop, the Pogo Ball champ, and Paul R., last seen cruising in their own Power Wheels.
To all of our patrons, thank you again. We appreciate you immensely. And to everyone listening, safe travels.